Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
This video comes from TMZ, and it's from a game 3 weeks ago. The Houston Texans trailing at halftime at home to the Denver Broncos 31-3. If you remember this game, I think the entire world picked Houston. It was like, wait a minute, how are we losing 31-3 at the half? Wait a minute. This is the Broncos. They can't score. We're down 31-3. Going to the locker room at halftime. This video just comes out now. You're going to hear a fan heckle Texans head coach Bill O'Brien, who now has to deal with this as he gets ready for the divisional playoff round this weekend. We had to bleep out a lot of it.
Yeah.
But the first thing you're going to hear is the fan who's right next to the tunnel as Bill O'Brien is walking in, yelling to Bill O'Brien, "You bleeping suck." All right, let's hear it. You suck too. You suck too. You blanker blanker. And then I think it's either DeAndre Hopkins or Deshaun Watson yelling, coach, come on. But listen to it again. The guy yells, "You suck, coach." And then Bill O'Brien again going right back at him. Coach, you suck too, blanker, blanker.
I mean, that's straight from the people that run the video surveillance for the stadium. So that guy gets fired, right?
I think so,
That man or woman gets fired from that job, right?
I'm pretty sure it's DeAndre Hopkins because it looks like him. It's the video is tough to see, but it looks like Hopkins is the one who walks over and says, coach, come on, man, come on. But you got a guy yelling, "You suck," and Bill O'Brien can't stand it and says, "You suck too, you blanker, blanker."
I said it last week during the first half, and if they get embarrassed this weekend, I still don't think Bill O'Brien is necessarily safe.
No, he won the first game. No, he won the first game. This is funny. This will be gone.
Deshaun Watson won the first game. Yeah. Bill O'Brien didn't do a damn thing.
The Bills did everything they could to win that game.
They make that sack, Bill O'Brien's fired.
Yeah, that's true. But they didn't, and sometimes it's one play in the NFL that keeps the guy there.
I tell you what, there's lots of wolves at the door, man.
I get it. I get Bill O'Brien losing his cool at this moment because I've done that before in a sporting event. Something happens. You say something you shouldn't. You know, I've told you the story before about the time we were playing a softball game against our arch rival team, and this meathead on the other team I just kept saying stupid stuff that didn't make sense, and his team was laughing about it. And I'm going, I said, "Listen, meathead." And I started yelling,
You called him a meathead?
And I did this while my mom was watching the game. She had come out to visit for a week, and she said, "I'll come to your softball game, then we'll go to dinner after, okay?" And she's got to hear me yell, call this guy a meathead, and curse at him because he was just being so ridiculously stupid. And, you know, it, at least at the end, she said, "Well, I like the fact that you channeled Archie Bunker and called him meathead."
That's pretty good.
Well, he was a meathead. He was saying meathead things. So, I've done that before, and I walked away, I can't believe I did that. And I remember Pam telling me, "I can't believe you did that." I was just so pissed at him. He was so infuriating. She goes, I get it, but your mom was right there. I mean, your mom was like 10 feet away when I'm starting yelling at this guy. So I get it. But I was 27. Bill O'Brien is 50. All right, Bill O'Brien's older than I am now. Bill O'Brien's 50, and because a fan yells, "You suck," you got to yell back, "You suck too, you blanker, blanker." Dude, go into the locker room. Learn the Kevin Durant lesson. Let this stuff go. I know, hecklers and trolls, you want to go back at them. They're infuriating on social media when they yell at you, when they see you on the street. I understand that, but you're supposed to be the guy who sets the example. You're an executive. You're the head coach of the team, and you're yelling at some dude, you know, who's walking around with a David Carr jersey. I assume David Carr, because that's why he's mad. Yelling, "You suck," and you're yelling back at him, "You suck too," as you're walking into the tunnel. at halftime.
It's brilliant.
It's awesome, and it's awesome for us, but I mean, really, let's be fair. If we say the things about Kevin Durant last night, you got to let trolls go. You say the same, especially a guy who's a head coach that should know better than the rest of the players. That's like, hey, you're the guy that's setting the example, and you're the one that, I mean, what are the other players going to do when they go, boy, coach just lost his mind there against it?
They're going to tell players.
Thankfully, DeAndre Hopkins walked over and got in and said something that either snapped him out of his reverie or got him away from things, because who knows what would have happened.
But now we get to add him to the rough cut alongside Baker Mayfield. I mean, this is great. We can start the thread of guys just screaming at fans. Go back to Isaiah Thomas going into the crowd. I mean, we've got a cross-sport section of people just responding to taunts. I'd really like to know what was yelled at Bill O'Brien that got him that angry.
He yelled, "You suck!"
Yeah, no, there's
got to
be...
"Coach, you suck!
No, there's got to be
suck, Baldy!"
No, there's got to be something more than that. Just saying "you suck" is not going to trigger a guy to that level.
That's the other part of it, is that sometimes people who do lose their mind and say things and come back, they go, "Well, I was provoked." No, you were provoked because you allowed yourself to be provoked. If you want to respond to every idiot who's going to troll you and say bad things about you, whether it's something about your family, your mother, whatever it is, you can ignore them. You know, there's no such thing as, "Oh, there's fighting words," when you're a coach of a National Football League team and this is a guy in the stands. There's no fighting words between a player on the court and a fan in the stands. No fighting words.
But it's that kind of level of intensity that makes him the coach that he... How about that? Just like all those rah-rah speeches we were mocking the last couple days. Like, he set the tone. Like, no, he set the tone. He looked like an idiot. Okay, Mr. Judge and you know, down Matt Rhule, same thing. It's like, yeah, it might work, but it just sounds so childish. And this is right on, this is just about four levels below, but all on the same continuum. It's like, what are we doing? Come on, guys.
I mean, they did hit it bigger in the second half and came back and outscored the Broncos 21-7, but it wasn't enough to win the game. But still, you have to know better. And this is like a lesson to a child. You know, but at least I give Bill O'Brien credit. Once the video came out today, he talked about it at his press conference ahead of the game, wanting to get rid of everything, and did apologize for his choice of words during this confrontation.
I was made aware of a video that's out there, and at halftime of the Denver game, coming off the field, you know, I used inappropriate language, and I just want to apologize for that.
Hard knocks. You've been through a lot of this stuff before. What's it like when you see that video and that appears and you're forced to address it during a playoff meeting?
Yeah, no, I apologize for it. You know, like I said, inappropriate comments, and you know, like I said, I apologize for it, and sorry that it happened.
Oh, come on, Bill! That guy was a tool. Screw him.
I like the way the question was asked. Hey, and it comes out during a playoff week, you idiot. How do you address that? And you know, Andy Reid leaked it.
He should have told the reporter, "I'm blank you too.
You suck too. Hey, coach, you suck. How about that?"
But I mean, that's what you call solidarity in the AFC West. We're standing up for our fellow division leader here.
But you got to know. I mean, listen, last two nights, whether it's Kevin Durant deciding, "I don't like when someone else says Russell Westbrook is better than me," and now you have a head coach of an NFL team yelling, "You suck, blanker, to a fan who just yells, "You suck" at him. "Oh, you think I suck? You suck, and you suck. You're a blanker. Oh, that you got me, coach.
I really wish that he just said, "Yeah, I'm sorry, but look, in the moment..."
Oh, that was like, the best.
That guy sucked.
That was
so
the
blank
best.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Rush, you know, I've talked about it many times. I tell you, look, Geddy Lee sings like his pants are too tight. And, you know, I wasn't a Rush guy like some of my other favorite bands were, but, you know, Rush had great songs that I love. My wife's, one of her favorite songs is Limelight, you know. And, you know, getting the news when Neil Peart died today, I'll tell you this much. Any conversation that I have ever had, you think we have big sports conversations every night and in my life for the past 15 years and back and forth when you're yelling that you think you're right and somebody other person thinks they're right. That is nothing compared to the conversations that I would have when I was a teenager, early 20s, when you get in that conversation, greatest guitarist of all time, greatest drummer of all time, greatest lead singer of all time, and you want to fight the other person because they say it's John Bonham, and the other person says this. But I got to tell you this, every conversation I've ever had, I've seen disagreements on the guitarist. I've seen disagreements on the lead singer. I've seen disagreements on the bassist. I have not had any conversation about who the best drummer was that didn't go to the end with Neil Peart and John Bonham and didn't end with Rush. I mean, really, I've
or
not.
Keith Moon.
Keith Moon. Yeah, but you know what? But you see, when Keith Moon started having his issues, like, you got to a couple of albums where even Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey were like, what's happened to you? Like, you've lost your edge.
Well, there were recent comments from both of them. More,
that he bailed in a couple of albums.
Just kind of like, all right, it became an easier act, sadly.
Right.
When he was gone.
Right. Like, he would play double notes all the time. And I remember seeing Pete Townsend, I couldn't believe it. I'm listening to him going, he's playing double. He's playing double notes. How is he doing this?
A lot of people go Ginger Baker.
You know, yeah, Ginger Baker too. Yeah, those, they always make it down to the end, but...
And Ringo.
You know, Pert always,
you can never forget Ringo.
Yeah, but Ringo is dismissed out of the conversation pretty easily.
He's not.
Nah,
talk to people who actually have drummed.
I'm telling you, the conversations I had.
You want me to call Gorman?
Ringo makes it down to the end, and then he gets eliminated.
Yeah, if only he played in a big band, Mike.
You know, Ringo...
Look,
you and I both love Photograph, but I'm sorry. Ringo makes it to the Elite Eight. Sometimes he'll make it to the Final Four, but he falls before the championship game.
Neil Peart always wins.
Yeah, it's
generally,
yes, it's Neil Peart and it's John Bonham. That's what it comes down to. And Neil Peart really always wins that one versus two with him and John Bonham.
Just remember a couple of shows. A couple of my best friends are just beside themselves. Right, they've now had kids and had hoped to be able to introduce, at some point, a Rush reunion, one more last run to say, here's what Dad has tormented you with all these years. And like, the realization that will never happen now is crushing. And I feel for them and for music fans. I saw so many tributes going out, and I think I can now cobble together 9 hours of music off of my timeline from different... Mm-hmm. songs people have suggested. Go listen to this one, or go listen to a live version of this. Here's a solo. Interestingly, Adam Carolla does his podcast and does long form interviews, and he was asking, what should I do in 2020? Who haven't I talked to that you guys would like to hear? And a couple of people had actually said, look, he's down the road in Malibu.
Yeah.
You can find him on his motorcycle, you do that.
And they say he's a regular guy. He was like the not a star, not a guy that's gonna walk in and say, the lights are too bright, I need purple lights at my feet in the next 5 seconds. Like, he was just a regular guy. He had come and talk about drumming and do all these things, and hearing and seeing the outpouring of emotion from everybody today, it's one of those, whoa, I can't believe it. And he passed away earlier this week. It wasn't even something that happened today. It was earlier this week in Santa Monica here in Los Angeles.
He had a good run, though.
67 years old.
Rock and roll, 67.
Had some personal tragedies that were part of the last few years and maybe part of the reason that they stopped touring. Back in 2015, I know Geddy Lee's gone on to do a bunch of stuff and special guest star kind of things. But, just a musician's musician that so many of the people that we follow in the Twitterverse, our buddy Gorman among them, that are just the heartbreaking for all of them and pulling out their best live tracks tonight to go back for those drum solos.
And that's the thing about Neil Peart is that, for people like me, that I even say Rush wasn't one of my go-to bands. I mean, I still like Rush, but I just not to the other people that love Rush. Because Rush was different. Rush wasn't heavy metal. They weren't hard rock, but they weren't quite...
Where did they fit? Yeah.
They weren't quite, an indie band either. They were kind of a mix of all of those.
Not prog rock.
It was difficult to say, who are they? Even now you would say, well... They're kind of the first of the great.
They're the Canadian holy triumvirate.
They're Canadian, and no one mentions Alex Lifeson's name ever, and so it's kind of hard now to say that where they would be. But even even people like me that I say, hey, I liked Rush and I liked their songs and they were part of my life and bigger part of many other people's lives. But there's nobody that doesn't come down and feel like, wow, this affects everybody on some level. Even I saw it was a Chuck D. Was tweeting out earlier today when he went in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and so did Rush 3 or 4 years ago, that he and Peart spent time hanging out together talking about what the night was and everything, and here's two people that are separated by the music they do and years and years and years in life, and they spent time hanging out and talking about what it was, and you realize that when you see something like this happen, it affects everybody, and just the overall overwhelming number of people from all different levels of fandom, it just really it opens your eyes to go, okay, here's somebody who's universally loved. You don't get universally loved all that much.
No, generally not. And a guy that didn't really want any of the limelight, as it were.
Wow, right?
I see what you did there.
See what you did there.
No, I mean, one of my favorite clips wasn't a live performance. It was him trying to just do warm-ups and make sure his kit was right before a show. And it was just this long thing like where he's working like, you know, like surgeon-like precision.
You know you're good ridiculous. When your band members can go away for an hour and the guy's still doing a drum solo.
Yeah, they can go down. Hey, we can go down and hook up with any bunch of women and then come back up. And yeah, you're still playing?
Carrying the crowd like they didn't even leave.
Yeah, you're still good. Oh, you guys were gone. Oh, I forgot you guys were gone. Oh, okay. Oh, now I get it.
Amazing band live.
Rest in peace, 67 years old.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Let's do this right now. Let's start picking the divisional playoff games this weekend in the National Football League, because this is what every expert and pundit will tell you is the best weekend of football. We get rid of all the riffraff, wild card weekend. We get to the top eight teams, and this is when we get the best football, the best quantity of football in addition to the quality. Let's go first with Minnesota and San Francisco. First game tomorrow, 1:35 p.m. Pacific time on NBC. I told you 3 weeks ago it was going to be the Kirk Cousins game against the Packers on Monday night. It didn't happen. Last week I told you, I got a feeling this is going to be the Kirk Cousins game, and it kind of was. Vikings win. I said they were going to upset the Saints. They did. Dalvin Cook was really good. Adam Thielen was good. I liked the Vikings. Their offense was back. Everything were healthy for the first time. I said they'd pull the upset, and they did. I got the other three games wrong. I said they'd pull the upset, and they did. This is going to be the Kirk Cousins 4-interception game. It's great. Minnesota had a big week last week. San Francisco is on another level. Their defense is the best defense in the NFL. They're not going to be able to throw the football. This game is going to be a steady pull away for San Francisco, and they'll be able to run the football if they need to. They'll be able to throw the football if they need to. Now that Jimmy Garoppolo has spent the last 8 weeks really airing things out a bit, showing that I can win games with 3 and 4 touchdowns if we need to, they can win any style of game. Minnesota, it was a great week last week. It was a great win for Mike Zimmer, staying head coach now. It's a big win for Kirk Cousins, but they go back to reality tomorrow. San Francisco wins. It'll be close in the first half. San Francisco, maybe it's like a 10-3, 13-3 type game, but then it turns into 31-35-13 San Francisco.
See, I got San Francisco on upset alert. I'm a little nervous of the pullback. Exactly. The pullback after the big win, right? The whatever, get the monkey off your shoulder or whatever you want to say for Kirk Cousins, that there's a relaxation point. But that defense will still get after Jimmy Garoppolo for still his first year starting. And he's been great the second half, right? Sanders, after his acquisition, he got into it. The people in Denver tried to make something out of some comments he made on a radio appearance today. So he's kind of salty. But Sanders and Kittle getting it done. Debo Samuel's had a fantastic rookie season quietly for them. And Mostert's been great. But if you can get them into the passing downs, can Danielle Hunter and that front give Garoppolo fits? I think they can. I'll take them plus the 7.
No.
I think Robbie Gould is the difference here. Call it what it is. One of the few guys that you actually trust in the kicking game in the National Football League.
And he says, blank you, Chicago!
No, he still wants to go back. See, that's the filthy thing about it.
I don't know that he wants to go back anymore. Now he's gonna go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he keeps showing up in Chicago at every event he possibly... Here I am! Look, the river's green!
Not in prime time. You want to revisit this pick?
I am...
This is about as close to the normal Kirk Cousins can play football game.
It's a 1:35 Pacific start.
I've seen him throw 4 picks during the middle of the day before. It's going to happen.
Yeah, you'll probably see it again.
San Francisco's defense is just too good. Really, if that's the selling point for me on this. Points are going to be difficult to come by. San Francisco's at home. They're going to roll through.
They are beatable at home, though. Remember, the Falcons went in there not too long ago.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to Dalvin Cook, right? Over the last 7 weeks, he had a big game this past week, but overall, a little bit dinged up, but averaging about 3.5 yards per carry. He's got to be able to run the football.
Yeah, that's and Adam Thielen's dinged up again, too. He got hurt at practice this week.
With a cut and whatever else.
He's got a cut on his ankle.
He's got a bloody sock game in him.
The Adam Thielen bloody sock game.
We're ready.
Wow. There's that guy in Minnesota's going, oh, all right, I got Kyle Rudolph's gloves. Now I got to get Adam Thielen's bloody sock.
Hey, Kyle, can you go apply some pressure so there's blood from the wound on your gloves?
Mm.
Yeah, madness ensues. I think San Francisco ekes one out, but would not be surprised to see Minnesota win this game outright.
Houston and Kansas City. Let's go to the AFC now. That's a Sunday game, 12:05 p.m. Pacific time. This one on CBS. I would love to say Houston keeps it going. That is not going to happen.
You suck, too.
You suck,
Bill
O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien is not happy
right
now.
You know why? Because Bill O'Brien sucks. Oh, you tell me I suck? You suck, too, Bill O'Brien.
You suck, too.
Look, the over-under for this is 51. I'll take the over. This has all the makings of a game that's 28-14 Kansas City at halftime. They're going to get the turnovers they need to put this game away. But the biggest thing in this is Patrick Mahomes' time. We're sleeping on him and not giving Kansas City the attention they deserve because they have played phenomenally the past 6 weeks. They have figured it all out. They are dangerous. They figured things out defensively. And this is Mahomes' time. Okay, you can all talk and fawn over Lamar Jackson all you want. Here's Aaron Rodgers playing. I'm going to remind you all on Sunday that I'm the guy, this is my league, and he's going to have a huge day. They are peaking right now, and I'll tell you, Kansas City, they're going to the Super Bowl. I'm going to pick them this week. I'm going to pick them next week. Houston winning last week felt like it was their Super Bowl. It felt like they needed to get over the hump by winning a playoff game, and they did. It's going to be a different story against Kansas City. Their defense the past few weeks has really risen up, and again, because we're not spending a lot of time with them because we have the newbie teams of Baltimore and Lamar Jackson story and the drama last week with the Bills in Houston and San Francisco is new and Russell Wilson against Aaron Rodgers, all of that, all of these things. And the Chiefs have just been, yeah, okay. Their defense has let up an average of 10 points a game the past 6 weeks. They have not been beaten up at all. They have not played a close game since they beat the Chargers by a touchdown 6 weeks ago. Andy Reid has had 2 weeks to work on this game and figure things out. This is going to be Kansas City. This is going to be Kansas City in a big way.
Can Will Fuller finish a game? It comes down to that. That offense works when Will Fuller is on the field. Right? Deshaun Watson was a magician at times last week, and he had to be. And in the biggest moment, he had to be. I think they can run the football. Chris Jones may not be able to go for this with Travis Kelce dinged up a little bit. Like with Minnesota, it's the did you get your bump, as you call it. Did you get your win, and now you're fat and happy. I don't know that you're there. Watson will still be able to make a few plays. In theory, J.J. Watt, with another week of work, maybe he's even more effective to warrant all the screen time he gets. Because that's the other thing. We got to find a metric for that. Mm. You only get long drives where it's just you in the ISO if you've actually done something of consequence in the game. I think we should work on that going forward. But I don't think Kansas City runs away and hides. I think Houston gives them a fight on the back of Carlos Hyde, but it's not enough. I'll take the 10.5.
So you're taking so I'm saying both Kansas City and San Francisco are going to win and cover. You're saying Minnesota's San Francisco and Kansas City are both going to win, but they're not going to cover.
Correct.
That's where you're going.
I'm going to take both those teams to beat the spread.
Wow, look at you. To win for a smaller portion of the football audience. You want to win for me. And losing by 8 wins for me.
That's really all it is. I don't think that any... I'm not looking for a blowout in any of these games.
You taking the over? Over 51 points is
a
lot of points.
I'll take the over-under in this one because I think we'll have a defensive score or two.
Okay. I think we'll have a defensive score in the first quarter.
Could be.
I'll tell you, it's 28-14 at halftime. Kansas City rolls, and everybody's reminded, oh, wait, this is really Patrick Mahomes' league.
You love them.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It is a big football Friday.
Yeah, it is.
We picked the games we told you about a few minutes ago last hour. Now let's get to the next two. This weekend in the NFL divisional playoff round, Tennessee and Baltimore. And I'll tell you this right away. This game is going to be closer than you think. This is not going to be a big Baltimore runaway. Tennessee played last week. They pulled the big upset. Yes, there's going to be some kind of coming back to earth after beating the Patriots on the road. I get that part of it. But the Titans are going to be able to sledgehammer Derrick Henry. And you know what the Ravens' plan is. We are going to sell out to stop Henry and make Ryan Tannehill make plays. But here's the thing. Ryan Tannehill can make a few plays. This is not going to be a game where suddenly in the first quarter you look up and it's 17-3 and it's 28-6 and boy, this game is over. Tennessee is going to keep it close. They will sledgehammer Derrick Henry and try to break through. Tannehill will make enough plays. It will be low scoring. You're talking about the big time pressure on Lamar Jackson, who walked in last year to the playoff game with no pressure, played poorly for three quarters, and almost pulled off the big upset in the fourth against the Chargers. Now he's entering with all the pressure, eyeballs on him. It will be a tougher game than you think, but Baltimore will still find a way. Up by a field goal or one score in the fourth quarter, everybody's going to be shocked that maybe the Titans can win this game, but Jackson will make enough plays down the stretch, and the Ravens will win this game by 10. I'm saying 24-16 Ravens over the Titans.
You set it up beautifully. You just like didn't that, finish the job. Titans win.
Whoa, look
Titan
at you.
Win.
Look at you.
They get the sledgehammer with Derrick Henry. You got Mark Ingram's a little bit banged up. Mark Andrews is a little bit banged up. Mm-hmm. They sell out defensively and keep Lamar Jackson in the pocket. All the creativity and the misdirection that they've been able to do, not so fast. Mike Vrabel gets them laughing like jackals, just like he did a week ago. Look, where it comes down to, right, is as you mentioned Tannehill. He's made the throws. A.J. Brown and, you know, the other wide receivers are stepping up their games as you roll. So for Jimmy Smith and for Marcus Peters, some big tests on the outside. I think, again, Tannehill's playing with house money. That's the beautiful thing here. There's no pressure on them at all. We talk about Kirk Cousins and being able to just throw off all the ills of past failure for the Titans. There's nothing there. I think they're able to frustrate the Ravens. I'm afraid of Justin Tucker. I got to get another kicker in while I'm at it. But I'm going to take the Titans to do the unthinkable and cause chaos and end this magical run by the Baltimore Ravens.
Seahawks and the Packers, the final game of the weekend on Sunday, 3:40 p.m. Pacific time kickoff. I'd love to pick the Seahawks, my Seahawks. I'd love to pick them. I would. But unfortunately, I watched them play last week. And well,
yeah, it was not pretty.
It wasn't the game that... Look, I thought Philadelphia would pull the upset. Carson Wentz got hurt. And then I knew that wasn't happening.
I want to go give Josh McCown a hug.
But
by
this
the
was
way.
Yeah, McCown. After we find out that, today played all game Sunday with a broken leg,
hamstring,
and three broken arms,
ripped off the bone. Good God!
So Josh McCown played the whole game with a hamstring ripped away from the bone. It was what a great tough guy award. But the Seahawks last week should have won this game going away. And it was a one-score game late in the fourth quarter, and they needed a goal line stand against Josh McCown to win this football game. Not only that, then they needed a prayer 50-yard pass from Wilson to DK Metcalf when they were going to give the ball back to the Philadelphia Eagles. The losing of their running game has really decimated them. They have still not figured out their offense in the past 3.5 weeks. And they're not going to do it against the Packers, whose defense is really good, who are going to be able to control the football themselves. They're a dual threat team. This is now an Aaron Jones-driven team. And don't forget that he's the number one weapon they have on that squad. And Aaron Rodgers has played support to him all season long. If they try to stop Aaron Jones, you know Rodgers can still do it, vice versa. I think the Packers are just a little bit too good for the Seahawks. That if they had their running game figured out, if they had things to the point where it was earlier in the season, before every running back they had got hurt, I would stick with my Seahawks. But I don't see it happening in Green Bay. Packers win.
I'm not a believer in the Packers team as we watched them throughout the year. Offensively, The run game has been solid, and Aaron Jones, who I touted before the year in the fantasy realm, and people look at me like I was crazy. It's like, no, I knew what Mike McCarthy didn't bother to figure out last year. That was his best chance to win football games for the Packers. He was their best runner, and they didn't realize it until it was too late. For the Packers, you have one guy that you trust in the receiving corps. You got Devontae Adams. Yes, Lazard and some of the others have stepped up. Jimmy Graham on occasion. But with the weather in full effect, we're talking 10 to 12 inches of snow at last forecast. And the cold temps. Now, the one thing that helps Seattle's offense, even though they can't fall forward, right, 17 carries, 19 yards, I believe it was a week ago, is that the Packers aren't very good at defending downfield passing. I mean, like when we're talking going for the downs with DK Metcalf or whatever you can get out of Hollister or from Tyler Lockett. So you whenever you've got Russell Wilson, you have a puncher's chance, and they'll keep it close. So I like them plus the 4 or 4.5, depending where you're shopping right now. But I think the ground game with Aaron Jones is too much to overcome, and that they just bleed clock.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
I want to know how an idea like this actually makes it to fruition.
It's where the Knicks.
The Knicks had a guy, a fan, they invited a fan half court, make a shot like you see at all the NBA games. And if you make the shot, you win a decent amount of money. Lakers gave a guy $100,000 last week to make a half court shot. Guy, Knicks fan tonight, makes a half court shot, really the only shot the Knicks made tonight because they lost to the Pelicans at home 124-1. And he makes it, and he wins $1,000 in scratch-off tickets.
Thousands in scratcher.
Now,
$1,000.
After having some time to think about this, I'm going to ask the following questions. All right.
Well, the Knicks put it out on Twitter, sponsored by the New York Lottery, and celebrated it.
Okay.
Of course they did.
Don't blame us. It's the New York Lottery.
That's all they would give us.
Okay. Do you think they were all the dollar scratch offs?
No, but that's the real cheap. They give them a couple of fives.
Here's the dollar. Yeah. Or here you get $1,000 scratch off. Here it's one. Oh, you lost.
Well,
sorry.
Like when you go to a casino, here's your one spin at $1 million.
Knowing Dolan, they're probably expired.
Here's what you get. You get a half price buffet.
Did they just have a whole thing where they told all employees, hey, if you come in from Christmas and if you have any leftover scratchers, bring them in. We're going to do something for a fan sometime in the middle of January.
Anybody got any extra stocking stuffers laying around? I mean, is this part of their promotion that expired, right? They had something for the holidays, and as soon as it got to the new year, they said, all right, we're not going to sell these at retail anymore, so let's put them as part of this.
No,
contest.
This is the Knicks thinking this was a good idea, guaranteed.
I like the idea of saving yourself some money, especially when it causes some embarrassment and some fodder for us here at Fox Sports Radio.
I don't know how you think that's a good idea. Like, that's something you give a fan who just, you know, goes on the court and has to dribble a basketball from one end to the other in like 10
seconds. Right, that's the old balance after spinning around with your head on a bat and all that stuff.
Do something stupid for like 8 seconds.
Or the baby race.
But you make it, Or you do, but you make a shot from half court. Yeah, no, it the standard's been set for what you get. You get a decent amount of cash for that.
Yeah, January 5th was the 100 grand.
You give $1,000 in scratch off to someone.
But I mean, look how
you can spin the ball on your finger for 3 seconds.
Yeah, but
I mean,
look
that's
how hyped that guy was.
I guarantee you, he didn't know what he was going to win. Hey, what am I going to win, dude? Don't worry, you go ahead, shoot.
Do I at least get a couple of tickets to Hamilton or Beetlejuice before it closes?
No, come on, man. Tell me what I want.
Beetlejuice. Come on, man.
And the Knicks are so damn cheap, Jason. They probably tried to move the basket as he was shooting.
Tell me what I can win. I won't do it. Hey, well, last week the Lakers gave a guy $100,000 to make the shot. All right, I'll do it. Hey, where's my $100,000? No, I just said the Lakers did. We're going to give you $1,000 in scratch-off tickets. Got to be in it to win it. Here you go. Scratch off.
Someone saying the prize should have been to jam with Dolan.
We got to get that guy on the show next week and find out what he won.
That was third prize, was getting to jam with Dolan's band. That was third prize.
No, that's a punishment.
You get to go. That's why it's third prize. It was $1,000 in scratch-offs. Second prize, a week with John Stamos. Third prize was 2 weeks with John Stamos. Fourth prize is you jam
the
with Dolan's band.
Stamos package is taken. Tyshirt secured it.
Yeah, I already called in on that, Jay.
Oh, you
well,
did?
I tell
okay.
you what, at a silent auction, you got no chance.
I mean, I don't... I
no
really,
chance.
this is, you know, I always say that my best job outside of radio would be as a consultant, public relations wise, to the Stars. And when something is going on, you don't know how to react to something. Should I say something on social media? Should I not? I will tell you how to proceed so you don't get a lot of unwanted heat. My other great job would be, okay, you tell me, team, what you want to do in giveaways, and I'll tell you if this is a good idea or not. And I would tell the Knicks, how does this idea get out of... I don't understand how it gets out of committee. What? Because you got to think, what if the guy makes it? You know, they walked out of the meeting going, guy's not going to make it, man. Don't worry about it. You're just being stupid. We got a whole free giveaway from the New York State Lottery Commission. What are you worried about? Just shut up and do your job, all right? That's not going to happen, right?
I mean, unless the fix is in to where one of these like a $20,000 prize and those scratchers... I'm not even kidding, though. Look, he won $1,000. What? Really. No, I won $25,000.
Would you scratch? Would you take the $1,000 in scratchers, or would you try to sell them?
Who's going to buy them?
Oh, people. Well, the idea. I mean, scratchers.
Well,
oh, yeah.
The idea
you can
that get you, them at the grocery store for the same price.
But the idea that you get your $1,000 back.
But you get what? Yeah. But
just you sell them for face value.
Yeah, you can get. You would sell these $1,000 in scratchers and get $1,000. At least you could get that
for them. You could probably get $2,000 for them because they're from the Knicks event.
Oh, yeah, it's a fun thing. Look, I'll tell you what. There is a...
It's a Knicks event. Listen, you're not getting a dollar.
Listen, you'd be surprised. There is a subculture of lottery scratchers out there that you have no idea. It's like living on the dark web. I mean, you would be surprised.
How do you know?
People, trust me.
Is this part of your Allie Hayes research?
No. Allie Hayes has nothing to do with this. Just stop. I know sub...
I scratch enough of these. Maybe I can make it to her.
Sub-members of my wife's family. Sub-members.
These are the people you visit in Detroit.
That are,
Cousin Billy?
No, these aren't the people you visit in Detroit. These are the people you go to Detroit.
Jumping knucklehead Billy?
No, these are the people when you go to Detroit, you hear stories about people who know these people. Right? That's how far removed are.
You know a guy.
There is a scratch-off subculture that is just manic for stuff like this. He could go on eBay and say, I'm the fan that won this. Immediately he would get his money back because someone would buy $1,000 in scratchers. He would probably get more because I'm the guy from the Knicks game. And if you win, you're a bigger story because
the Knicks thing loses value.
Guess what? I got these tickets from the Knicks guy and I won more money. So he would at least get a grand, probably more, if he sold this.
Because the thing, I think there is something to the effect of there. The logic, and you might be able to put this out here, is it's like people do with baseball cards. Like, this is a hot pack, right? I went through the box, and I was supposed to get two autographs. I only got one, so this has to have an autograph. Thereby, you should give me some premium for this last pack that was out of my box. Meanwhile, they're sitting there with the entire box, and they're doing this 24 times or 36 times. But the idea being, A, they're from the Knicks. There's got to be a winner in here, right? They wouldn't just give me $1,000 in scratchers, right? Please help. They wouldn't just give me $1,000 in scratchers for hitting a half-court shot. And maybe you could find someone and talk them into the expected value being higher because of the Knicks tie-in.
There you go. That's exactly how it's going to work.
It's potentially disastrous for them. But, yeah, you're Knicks, yo. Way to get it going.